Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, a shock grand final selection with a WA connection. We give our grand final tips and our Norm Smith medal tips, and also the latest on the Freo coaching situation and Willy Rioli.
That was out of bounds!
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. It's Thursday ahead of the 2019 AFL Grand Final. It is time for the Duff and Quarters podcast Grand Final Tipping Edition. We're going to do well to get to 30 minutes today, Quarters. We've only got one game to tip. But we're brought to you by Tab Touch. Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior football writer at the West Australian. And Quarters?
Let's open with what could be the biggest ever selection story in grand final history. We're saying could because, of course, there'll be teams selected later on this afternoon. But it could be the greatest story ever.
So as we speak, there is speculation swirling. And we should qualify that by saying in football, speculation often swirls.
Particularly grand final week, it gets really swirly.
It does get very swirly. I remember the night before the 1992 grand final, the Herald Sun journalists were chasing a story.
Probably me.
That Mick Malthouse was on the verge of leaving West Coast.
I wasn't chasing that one.
To coach a Melbourne-based club. They actually made the obligatory phone calls and chased that story down before ruling it out. But they spent about 2 or 3 hours on that story.
I remember chasing a story in the end of the 1989 season, and I was sent to the Western Oval, and I interviewed Mick Malthouse after the game, and he gave me an absolute spray for asking him about the Eagles. Well, he was there the next year. I feel a bit harshly done by on that one. Nevertheless, Duff, what do you think? What are the chances? So the story is that Marlon Pickett will be making his debut in an AFL Grand Final.
What do I think? So as we speak, there are three players, I think, in contention for one spot. One of those players is Jack Ross.
I think he, for me, is the most likely.
He is the like for like.
Yep.
One of those players is Camden McIntosh. Ross and McIntosh were the two players held over from the VFL Grand Final last week when Richmond's VFL team played Williamstown. The third player is Marlon Pickett, who was best on ground, according to the people who voted on the Norm Goss medal for best of field. Their normies are Goss, not a Smith, in the VFL Grand Final.
Yeah, Norm Goss, great rover with Hawthorn and prior to that, I think...
South Melbourne.
South Melbourne, yes.
Little left footer, wasn't he?
Yeah, very good player, yep.
Yeah. Imagine if Marlon Pickett wins two normies in one year.
I can't even think of Marlon Pickett. I'm just getting past him playing on Saturday. I just think that would be a huge story. I've got to say, look, I think it's a fantastic story. And if it happens, good luck to him. But I just, that's a gamble. It's a big gamble.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that if Marlon Pickett played for GWS, I reckon he almost plays in this game because you look at X Factor, you look at talent, you look at all those things. He has all of those things that say he is a guy that can step up to the mark in an AFL grand final. But Richmond are the favourites. Richmond go in off 11 wins in a row. When you are the favourites and when you've won 11 wins in a row, you tend to say, let's not fix what isn't broken. So we're going to lose a player, Jack Graham. So how do we come as close as humanly possible to maintaining our method?
See, common sense to me says Ross,
Jack Ross
ahead of McIntosh. That's common sense, though. But the journo in me says, please pick Pickett.
And the West Australian. The West Australian link, obviously.
You know, it's not unprecedented, Duff.
So do
99
tell.
years ago, Richmond played and won a grand final. Billy James, then 20-year-old, made his debut for the Tigers.
Yep.
Now, the urban myth after that grand final was that he never played again. He did. Now, I can't tell you how many games, but he did play again. But 4 years after that grand final, was forced into early retirement when he shot himself in the foot in a rabbit hunting trip.
As you do. As you do.
Now, listen, the other thing I'll say is five players have been blooded in VFL grand finals. I don't have the waffle figures in front of me, but the last was Keith Batchelor 67 years ago for Collingwood, the 1952 loss to Geelong. And we should also point out there have been six, seven, eight players who've played fewer than five games who've made who've played in grand finals. Some of them that people will remember would be Richard Hadley for Brisbane in 2003. That was only his fourth game.
Yep.
Aaron Keating for Adelaide in 97. That was only his third game. And St Kilda's only flag, one of their greats, Travis Pays. That was only his third game for the Saints that day. So there was littered with, you know, examples of inexperienced at that level playing, but this would be something else.
I remember Aaron Keating. Aaron Keating at Adelaide's post-match celebration in 1997 held court on stage, and when he left the stage, he made the announcement to the crowd, Aaron Keating has left the building. Do you know what Aaron Keating's statistics in the 1997 grand final were?
Oh, this has been two kicks?
0-0-0-0-0.
Okay.
Did not get a disposal, did not take a mark, did not win a contested
possession. Similar to Bruce Monteith in 1980?
Well, Monteith...
He was on the bench. He was the 19th man, wasn't he?
He was. He was the captain, scraped into the team on the bench.
So, look, good luck to Pickett. We hope he plays. Let's barrack for that story, Duff.
So let's tell the whole story.
Yep.
Marlon Pickett grew up in Manjimup. And I only know that because one of my mates who owns a winery down there, Vic Pios of Pios Estates, free plug for you there, Vic, remembers him running around at school and just winning everything.
Winning so, footy, arts, cricket, whatever.
He said he was an absolute machine.
Yep.
He went to Perth. He lost his way. He did a stint in jail as a teenager, came out of jail, came back to football, has been a wonderful player for South Fremantle for several seasons now, has won two best and fairest for South Fremantle. His 2018 was regarded by South Fremantle people as the equal of Tim Kelly's 2017. So it was Tim Kelly's 2017 that caught the eye of Geelong and convinced them they should draft him.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Tim Kelly's release from South Fremantle pushed Pickett into the midfield.
Correct.
Goal.
So Pickett was a halfback. He was given the number 25 jumper at South Fremantle, which is significant. That's the number that Stephen Michael used to wear. Not everyone gets to wear number 25.
Nor should they.
At South Fremantle.
Great TI.
Marlon Pickett is 184 centimetres tall. He has played in the ruck for South Fremantle at times, such as his athleticism and his leap. He is without question, I think, at the start of this year, or he was without question at the start of this year, the best athlete outside of the AFL system. He breaks his finger right before the start of the season, so he doesn't play for the first 6 or 7 weeks. And we know there's this mid-season draft coming up, and those of us that are barracking for Marlon to get into the AFL system are all thinking, oh, come on, get back, play some good footy. Come on, you know, play some good footy. He gets back, gets into the South Fremantle team, stars in his first game. It's coming up to the mid-season draft, and he re-breaks the finger. And the word is that he's going to miss 10 weeks, and we think, well, that's torn it.
Yeah.
No one's going to draft him. Richmond take the plunge. He doesn't play for the first 8 or 9 weeks that he's with the Tigers. He comes back, stars in the VFL straight away. They've been wanting to play him, desperate to play him. They've barely had an injury. And then his last chance to press his case is the VFL Grand Final, and he goes out and wins the Norm Goss medal.
Yeah.
So
incredible story.
What a story.
Oh, what a story. Yeah, let's see how it plays out. A few other stories to play out, of course, Duff, over the course of Saturday. Look, it's a tale of two styles, really. I mean, there's so many subplots to this game. But it's a so Richmond, whoever gets it on their terms, I think there's a couple of things here. Richmond is going to want that chaos ball, that move it on at all costs style of footy. If they get that on their terms, then and GWS is in trouble. GWS is going to want a stoppage game. That's where they score mostly from. They want the game in the trenches, which is where they live or certainly have been this final series. They the contested ball in those trenches. If they get it on those terms, then I think Richmond's in a bit of trouble. So let's hope they meet somewhere in the middle and it's an arm wrestle. I think it's going to be an arm wrestle for three quarters. I really do. I think Richmond will win it. And as happens, once the game is broken, I think they run away with it in the end. So, you know, my tip is Richmond by 28. But I think it'll be an arm wrestle for the majority of the game. The only thing I'll add to it, it's crucial that GWS kick straight, and particularly early, because accuracy, as we found out on grand final day, can bring you unstuck. Particularly, Fremantle discovered it in 2013 in the first quarter.
Oh, first quarter,
yeah,
all day.
Yeah, but particularly in the first quarter, because it just gets that mindset going early. Interestingly, the last two finals, they've had fewer scoring shots, GWS, and still won. So they need to be accurate early, I reckon, just to take it right up to Richmond.
So let's, before we go too much into the tactics and how we think the game will play out, GWS, of course, have selection issues as well.
Yes.
We fully expect Lachie Whitfield to be named.
Nine days since he's had an appendectomy, but these days keyhole easier.
Their beauty therapist in residence, Toby Green, will also be making a reappearance. He'll be available for facials and hair extensions at some point during the game.
So two come in. Obviously, there was some storyline there was that Coniglio fell on his sword, said, "I'm just not confident I can get through four quarters." Beautifully done, Coniglio. And Jack Graham, of course, with that shoulder. Two very sad subplots of the grand final week.
But, yep.
And the other one, of course, is Brett Deledio, who I would have loved to have seen him out there taking on Richmond, his old club, but that's not going to happen. So Green in and Whitfield in. So who comes out, Duff? Now, I think we both sort of think that Bobby Hill's going to be unlucky.
I think, well, not unlucky.
He
had a nervous
preliminary final,
didn't he? He had seven touches. He had a windy with a handball at one stage, which
for a
guy of his exquisite skills.
He certainly showed enough to suggest on that stage that he's going to be a player, but just didn't execute at all. So so the three I think we've got in the frame to come out, the three others are, there's more than three, actually. Keith, Tomlinson, Reid and Lloyd perhaps would be a bit nervous, you think?
I reckon one of Reid and Lloyd will absolutely play because I think they'll want a defensive forward to play on Bashahuli.
Yep.
So one of those two will play, and I reckon they will play precisely that role. But when they're looking as to who might be squeezed, it may be that Lachie Keefe gets squeezed because, assuming that Phil Davis plays, and this is the other discussion GWS should at least have, if they're not talking closely to the doctors about what is wrong with Phil Davis's calf and can he actually play, then they're not doing their job. Because if Phil Davis plays, he's going to have to play on Tom Lynch.
Yeah, he will be playing on Tom Lynch.
Who's not only 200 centimetres tall and a marking behemoth, he's also an aerobic beast and he gets up and down the ground, and Phil Davis has to be able to run with him. Now, Phil Davis has, we don't know what's wrong with Phil Davis's calf. They're saying it's back related, and maybe it is, but if there's a tear in that calf, playing Phil Davis is a massive, massive punt.
So I think Davis will play. I worry about him playing on Lynch. Davis, I think, just has to play deep. He can't be roaming around, sort of running up and down half forward. It's just not. I don't think his body will allow him to do that. So I think GWS will actually manufacture a plan to combat that. I don't think he'll be asked to run.
So from what you're saying then, and when you look at the way Richmond structure up, Richmond used to be one tall, five short in attack. So Jack Revolt used to be the tall, five smalls swarming around him, or maybe Dustin Martin going down there.
Yep.
Obviously, with Tom Lynch there, that changes a bit. They're more like 2-4.
Yeah, they are.
And occasionally the ruckman drifts forward as well.
So, and the other thing is, I think if Davis has to play, because it'll freeze Haynes up a little bit for that intercept role, and I think he has to play Phil Davis. I don't think they can win if he doesn't, but I think he has to play deep. I don't think they can afford. I don't think his body will allow him.
I think that they have to pass him fit. Can't just say he's the captain, he has to play.
Well, I don't think they can win without him.
Yeah, well, they can't win if he's limping around
after
Tom Lynch either.
Yeah.
The problem is this army of small forwards that Richmond has quarters. So Shai Bolton, Jason Castagna, Daniel Rioli. They're all breathtakingly quick.
Yeah.
They're all really clever. They all get to the fall of the ball.
That's the big area of concern for them, particularly their defence. If they allow them to get back in behind them, then they're in a lot of trouble. So I think that's the one area that they might struggle to address.
And Kane Lambert's the other one that gets forward a lot, plays that high half forward role very well. I reckon that my concern is that I think GWS is going to have to, A, win the midfield and win it handsomely, and B, I think they're going to have to get the fast start. I think if we look at the way the two teams have played in their finals, their last two games, Richmond has warmed into their work and been really, really powerful.
Yeah, they don't
after
mind starting from behind. They don't mind that.
Yeah.
So I think GW, that's why I said it's really important, I think, early, particularly for them to kick accurately.
Yeah.
Just make the most of their chances.
Yeah.
It's a different experience, you know, grand final day. You're out there at the MCG. It's a weird sort of energy. There's the nerves, there's the excitement, there's the corporate sort of side of the crowd.
The golf clapping.
There's a different winds. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, it's really weird, different experience. So, you know, they're going to have to soak all of that up and be switched on. If any team can do it, I reckon they can.
Well, they've got a lot of swagger.
Yeah, they have. And you need swagger.
Yeah.
Dogs had swagger in 2016.
Yeah.
You know. So a lot of fascinating things. I guess the other thing is, I mentioned before, I think it's GWS try and get this into a stoppage situation. So the Mumford v. Nankervis Soldo, really, really crucial. Not so much Mumford's going to be sort of outrucked, I guess, if you like, but it's where he puts his body, how he positions his body. I believe we got some breaking news.
According to the AFL website, Marlon Pickett is going to make his AFL debut.
Well, that's according to the AFL website. So let's wait and see the actual. That's 1 minute ago. So there's your news flash. You hear it live here on the Duff and Quarters podcast.
Of course, we go to air on a delayed basis, so it'll be old news by the time you get to hear
it. It's live for us. Live for us.
We're excited. Yeah. We want you to be too. That's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. So, good luck to him. I think that's really, really critical how they go about that. And there's a couple of others. I think where does Toby Green? Do they throw him in the mid, causing mayhem? Does he stay at high half forward?
He's got to play high half forward. He's got to be their guy who maybe gets it 25 times, but kicks two or three goals, I reckon. And I think the other thing, Quarters, I think their tall forwards just have to stand up. I reckon they need 9 goals from Cameron, Himmelberg, and Finlayson.
When they win, they normally get them. They get the mix. Yeah. So I've got Grimes and Cameron, Asprey and Finlayson, Broad and Himmelberg. They've got Vlastoon there as well. I think that's probably how they start, but there's an ability to change that, of course.
If you are Damien Hardwick, who goes to Toby Green if he plays forward? And don't forget they hand over and roll over depending on where they are in the structure. So, you know, whoever it's very rarely 4 quarters, 30 minutes a quarter lockdown.
Well, that could.
But when he's up high playing the high half forward role, to me, Vlastoon goes to Green.
Yeah.
I want Grimes on the deepest tall forward.
I'm not sure if they don't want Vlastoon to sort of work off a player a bit more, but we'll see. That could be a tactic they go to. The one I'm thinking might be intriguing is, do they go a lockdown on Whitfield? And who do they go to? Because Whitfield, and when they got them in round 3, had it 42 times. Now, he's coming off let's call it a rest, but and there's been lots of commentary on Whitfield coming back from his appendectomy, but maybe someone like Lambert might go to him. What do you think about Whitfield?
They would have to break from habit completely, Richmond.
But
to,
if he gets, he's getting
that.
Lots of it early. He's so destructive, Whitfield. It might be worth thinking about. Of course, the big one is don't mention De Boer. And will it be World De Boer 2?
So, don't mention De Boer.
I'm thinking of we know that you don't mention De Boer, but I'm thinking about the World De Boer 2 headlines already.
He doesn't go to Dusty.
Yeah, he goes to Prestia.
Well, Prestia, or the other one I'm going to throw at you is Shane Edwards. Shane Edwards has been Richmond's best player.
He has
in the last 2 weeks.
He has greatly rated, which is, I think, I've picked him for the Norm Smith. Have you as well?
Yeah,
we both picked him for the Norm Smith. The thing I like about ticked for the Norm Smith is that players, I reckon the Norm Smith is sort of an award if you've been there a couple of times and you've got that romance about you as a player, and he has. You almost need to be in the sort of best two and you'll get it.
Yep.
And I reckon that he fits that category. So I think if they win, he's every chance. I still like Prestia for De Boer or even Martin.
Yeah.
Now, whether Martin's injured or not, we don't know. He had a corky last week, whether he's 100%. Well, none of them are really 100%, but let's see how he goes. But I think Prestia, who's he's the number one rated AFL player since the bye. I think he's underrated, but he doesn't really get a tag that often. So maybe a shock tactic.
He's prolific. So the thing about Cochin, there's not really a lot of point in tagging Cochin because Cochin's ability to impact the contest, he's a bit like Nick Natanui at ground level. He Cochin played a great preliminary final. He had 14 disposals.
Yeah.
And yet he was a key factor.
Yeah, he doesn't need a lot
Richmond
of it.
Yeah. Turning the game. He just has that ability to provide that ground level grunt. So I wouldn't bother tagging him. I think if you tag Dusty, Dusty will just take Matty DeBoer forward, and that will...
So if he goes forward, is someone like a Sam Taylor, perhaps?
You don't really want Haynes zoning off. I think you need some sort of lockdown defender to play on Dusty if he goes forward. Yeah, maybe Sam Taylor. Geez, big job for Sam Taylor. Second year AFL defender.
Depends if we've got a 90% or a 70% Dusty, though, I guess. And Sam Taylor's... I think he's up to it.
No, I think you got to bank on a 90% Dusty. Yeah. I mean, he got a bit of a corky in the prelim, but he certainly...
Well, then it's a bigger challenge, but still, it's a big challenge anyway. And let's not forget the noise that will be generated from however many Richmond supporters are there on the day. It's almost like a 23rd man.
So what about, of the neutral supporters, and let's not forget, this is a grand final, a lot of corporates in the ground, every club gets an allocation.
Neutrals will all be going for GWS.
GWS?
Oh, yeah. Maybe with the exception of the Western Bulldogs. They don't like him. So I think they'll be going for the Tigers. But I think all the neutrals will be going for GWS.
They don't like him as in T Green.
That's right, yes. So they therefore don't like GWS. So I think the Dogs will probably...
Are you saying that the Bulldogs are the only team Toby Green's managed to offend over the years?
No, but he's offended them the most.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if I was there, I think GWS is a great story. And we've all watched them over the past 4 or 5 years, and they've almost been a great football team. Well, now we're seeing them produce what a great football team produces. So I want to see them go all the way. I really do. I'm just doubtful. What really worries me, it's the old story, and you can't put enough value in it. Richmond's had the rest. They've had 3 hard games. I just think that's invaluable.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the travel's a factor. All their trips are short.
So yes, no, not at all.
Travel doesn't... No. Don't worry about the travel. It's the extra game.
Yep.
And this will be GWS's 4th in September, and this will be Richmond's 3rd. And September games are big, and they take it out of you. And I think that's going to be the key factor in the run home. So
the other
quarters,
one we didn't mention either was Perryman. So he can probably play a bit of a lockdown.
Yeah, okay. That's on Hooley
possibly.
Or on one of the Richmond mids. You don't want to go too negative on grand final, though. I think you need to play the way you want to play.
But they do have the ability to use for a couple of lockdowns GWS, which they might need to, if it's getting a little bit away from them.
Yeah. All right. Let's put our reputations, scaly as they are, on the line here, and let's see if we can come up.
Goal in it at 3-quarter time. Richmond win by 28.
I'm going to say... GWS, 3 goals in front at half time. Richmond, a goal in front at 3-quarter time. Richmond wins by 30, easing clear. Quarters, who is your Norm Smith medalist? Are you staying
Shane
with
Edwards.
Shane Edwards? I'm going to stay with Shane Edwards. Who kicks the most goals on grand final day?
I think it's Lynch.
Tommy Lynch.
Yeah, he's kicked 5 in the prelim. It's pretty hard to do.
And it becomes...
They're big games. I just think he's up and about. He's athletic. I'm just not sure. I think at some stage of the game, he'll kick consecutive goals. And I think he kicks the biggest bag.
So what shape does the recruiting coup at the start of year becomes the recruiting coup?
Oh, it's the recruit of the year.
At the end of the
season. I think we knew he was the recruit of the year. We just didn't... It was either going to be the recruit of the year or it was going to take him maybe a year at worst to settle into that football squad. But he's settled in within half a season, and he's now playing really good football.
And it has in its own way been a great season, coming off virtually no pre-season with the ankle injury, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, but they've given him time. They've been patient with him. And I think not only the team, but the whole team has evolved around him. They've had to adapt, and they've done it really well now. I think they're starting to feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, as I said, I think if GWS get it on their terms, then it's game on. They don't want it to be a trench warfare. Richmond won't mind a bit of trench warfare, but GWS love it.
Yes. Mm. All right. So moving right along, Willie Rioli, thoughts
A couple of days on, my thoughts are that it's going to be a long process. It will be a longer penalty. unless they can, unless they pull miraculously something out of the hat.
They're going to have to come up with a fault in the testing process. That's the only thing that saves Willie from a 2-year ban.
The only thing I'll add, Duff, is that I probably don't agree that marijuana should be on the ban list in terms of performance enhancing, but it is on the list.
Yeah.
So there's no excuses there. It's on the ban list now. Whether it is or not down the track is a different story.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you. I don't see the performance enhancing qualities of cannabis at all. But what I would say is that it's not the cannabis in the system that's going to get him. It's the positive drug test will be swallowed into the other investigation.
The urine transfer, that will get him. That's the bigger
transgression. That's the more serious charge. And what the role that the positive test to cannabis will play in all of that is that they will look back at that urine substitution and they will ask themselves the question, was he really doing that because he was dehydrated, as he was going to claim, and he couldn't urinate, or was he doing that because he was gravely concerned about something turning up in his system? And once you start tampering with a urine sample to change a drug outcome, and I'm not saying that's what he did, but I'm saying that that will be a view that WADA and ASADA are entitled to take, given the events that have followed that, then I suspect 2-year minimum, and I think, 3-4 years, that's all.
No, I think 3-4 is more likely, given the gravity of it.
We can tell people that he was target tested. So in the wake of the August 20 event, basically they knew that was something irregular had happened with that test. So they targeted him. We know that he was tested in the rooms following the game against Hawthorn, which was just 4 days after that. He tested clean on that night, but then obviously returned a positive sample.
And we also know that John Fay, the former head of WADA, we know that he has come out and said they have increased the threshold for the marijuana testing. So, in other words, they don't want to really get people for performance enhancing if it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks earlier. It bears no relevance. They want to get them within the vicinity of a game. So he suggests that it would have been ingested 24, 48 hours.
It's an interesting thing. It would be interesting to get their take on why they view cannabis as a performance enhancer.
I agree. And I think short term it may have effects in terms of a relaxant, but I think this absolutely would be zero long term.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear.
Oh, there's also a suggestion that it acts as an anti-inflammatory.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's quite possibly why they're targeting. Do you see, there has been some debate
about
this.
Thank you to Nick, our producer, too, for his assistance there.
is there a debate to be had here as to whether cannabis should remain on the ban list?
Absolutely, there is a debate to be had.
Yep.
My only point is,
but that doesn't change the rules as Willie breached
them.
Well,
how can it? It's banned right now.
Yeah.
So you can't change the goalpost to suit individuals.
I agree with that entirely. And I think West Coast are doing the right thing. They're putting resources and support around him.
Yes, which he needs. And we feel sorry for the person, but you have to punish the behaviour.
Absolutely.
Just finally, Duff, we should touch on it. What's your call on the Freo coaching position? My reading of it is that I think next week there could be an announcement, and more, I think earlier next week, but certainly I wouldn't expect it Monday just after a GF.
I think at some point next week,
Justin Longmuir.
Fremantle will be in a position to announce their coach. I still think it's Justin Longmuir. Starting to get, and maybe this is just a feeling in my waters,
yes,
which are not tainted by
like
any
Gatorade,
sports drink.
Yeah.
I feel there's a left fielder somewhere in the mix that we're not aware of. Mm-hmm. So we know that Peter Sumich
is not Clarko
interviewed.
Who's bought a house in
Coogee. Been seen at the local IGA. he's the new principal of Christchurch Grammar School.
Yeah. Been seen at someone at the local IGA who'd just been ingesting some marijuana cookies.
I think there's someone. I get the feeling there's someone else in the mix, but that's not to say they're ahead of Justin Longmuir. I think the three we're aware of are the three that everyone knows about: Justin Longmuir, Peter Sumich, Dean Solomon. I don't necessarily believe the scuttlebutt going around that Peter Sawmich didn't interview well. That struck me as a little bit strange.
And I believe that it wasn't accurate that he asked the question of the CEO. He was asked the question about the CEO himself. So he had some input into that, but he didn't ask it himself. So there
that makes more sense to me.
So there were some mistruths about that reportage, but there's also an element of truth to it. Yeah.
So, but I tend to think that Justin is the one that'll be in front.
Well, I think he's in front.
If they're the ones that if the only ones really in contention are the ones that we
Can I ask you one more question? Has it been a wide net that's been cast, as they suggested it would be, or has it been more like a drop net or even a crab net?
No, I think it was a wide net that got cast. I just don't think there was that many contenders. Yep, okay. So I think they sounded out a lot of people, but I'm not sure that there's – when they – I think it was a very – easy process, if you like, to take what would have been a wider field and reduce it to the field of three or four that are going to be your main contenders. I suspect that was a fairly simple process for them. But again, we only know the ones that get talked about in the media. And go back to 2014 and the Bulldogs with Luke Beveridge, no one saw Luke Beveridge coming.
No. No, that's true.
So often, you know, there's a name that bobs up late. It is still not clear whether Don Pike is absolutely out of the mix. My understanding as of last week was that Don Pike was taking time to reconsider his next move. That doesn't sound like a bloke who's about to apply for the Fremantle senior coaching position. It may be a bloke who's available to take a position at Fremantle, maybe as a wingman sort of mentor to a younger coach who gets that job. But certainly there's been nothing we've heard from the Don Pike camp that says he is absolutely out of the running. So, you know, that's one to watch. And there's a couple of other names, two quarters, that are worth mentioning. Matthew Knights was the coach of Essendon, took them into finals, has been an assistant coach at Geelong, which has been a highly successful footy club for a long time now. And I did fire off a text to Brad Scott's manager, Craig Kelly, and asking him, you know, just for the sake of ruling this out, can you rule Brad Scott out of the Fremantle coach selection process? He didn't answer me back. So maybe he didn't get the memo.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't want to get involved. Maybe I've done something to upset him, which
player
is always
manager
a chance.
Didn't answer you back. That's unusual.
So he can't be absolutely ruled out either.
Now, wherever you are, whether you're going to the game, whether you're turning the Barbie on, getting all four jets going and getting some sausages and some steaks and cracking open a couple of cold beers. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the fact that it's an all-Australian entertainment lineup before the game. And if Paul Kelly doesn't get you singing along, nothing will. That's all I've got to say about it.
Yes, we've been brought to you by Tab Touch. Enjoy the grand final. We'll come back on Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, we'll be back
to have
here
a chat
on Tuesday,
about it. Yeah. And we look forward to speaking to you then.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.